Federal employees have more access to cutting-edge computer power and programs on their smartphones than at their offices. That was a comment from the Office of Management and Budget Director, Peter Orszag. But is that really true? Insights. We're joined, as we are each Tuesday, by Tom Shoup. He, of course, the editor-in-chief of Government Executive. And I understand that you've been declared the dean of government reporting.
Apparently, that's true.
Our friend Ed O'Keefe over at the Washington Post said you're the dean of Washington. So I was teasing you before, as I'm apt to do, that comes with a ring, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Perfect.
And I was saying for just people in general to kiss.
Right, exactly. Well, congratulations, and Tom Shoup's blog is one of the things that I just check religiously, because I find him just a phenomenal writer, so we're glad you're back doing it, frankly.
Well, thank you very much.
You took a little time off, and it was much missed. So, but talk about this, because it had to freak you out a little bit that the OMB directors read your blog.
Yeah, it did. You know, you, as someone who blogs yourself, you know, I think maybe you're familiar with the notion that as you write these things, you just tend to think that maybe they go out there and no one's actually...
Yeah, the ether, it disappears.
Yes,
yeah,
certainly not anybody.
Yeah, no one takes us seriously, for goodness sakes.
Yes, I certainly hope not.
Yeah, right.
But it turns out, apparently, he was reading it because he took the time, or had someone take the time, to respond on the OMB blog to a point I raised about his statement that there was more computing power on the belts of federal employees than at their desktops, which I think he basically wanted to just sort of amplify what he meant by that, and that said that he wasn't really talking about just pure processor speed and that kind of thing and sheer computing power, but that there's access to all kinds of cutting-edge applications and things on smartphones that perhaps aren't being put to good enough use in the federal context.
And it is one of the big changes in the amount of time that we've been covering this. It's remarkable to see, I mean, previously, technology largely driven by the enterprise, and that has just been completely turned on its head, where now people, by and large, whether it's at home or on your laptop or in my iPad or in my iPhone, whatever, generally, I have better computing power personally than I do at work.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it may be truer than people think. And, you know, I think I still have, you know, the laptop I use still has more computing power than my Droid phone that I carry around. But I said sort of almost tongue-in-cheek on my blog post that I thought my, you know, phone wasn't quite as high-powered as my computer of 8 or 10 years ago. And somebody said, you're probably wrong about that. And when I thought about it, I thought, you know, that may very well be right. There is a lot more computing power that people are carrying around now than there used to be.
But there are really some remarkable management implications here because, and we've seen it happen through a lot of these Web 2.0 things, and I'm always reminded of the story over at TSA where they went to their IT shop and said, you know, we want to create a blog, and they said, okay, that'll be $70,000 or whatever the number was. It was a lot of thousands of dollars. And they said, well, isn't there WordPress or Blogger or whatever out there for free? Why do we need to spend that much money? It all of a sudden changes, and luckily they found some smart IT person in TSA to go out there and do it. But it changes the dynamic. All of a sudden people can go do something on their own. If they reach blockages at work, they find another way around.
Yeah. There are just many more opportunities for that than there used to be. And that's one of Mr. Orszag's points, is that agencies, in his view, are not making enough use of these kind of things and taking advantage of the capabilities that are out there, which is a somewhat different argument than the sheer computer power one. But he's clearly convinced that there's a large IT gap between the public and private sectors that he thinks it accounts for differences in productivity between the two sectors, or at least largely accounts for it.
And you're suspicious of that?
I'm not necessarily suspicious of it. I'm not sure that it's a full answer, and I think probably he would say that too. And I think it's, and I'm not sure that they're taking that out a couple steps further. You know, the question is then, if that's true, if there's an IT gap that's really contributing to measurable productivity differences, what do you do about that?
Yeah.
And I think they're reluctant to say the answer is we need to invest much more heavily in IT. And I'm not sure that they've made clear yet exactly what the answer is. to that problem.
And I think one of the challenges, and we see it a lot with like telework issues, is people, if you have a desktop, you're a lot less likely to telework than if you have a laptop or something else. And so there it can be, and young people, if you're going to attract young people, they don't even know what desktops are, for goodness sakes. They want an iPad or something.
Right, exactly. It really is a matter of, you know, looking at how you're set up technologically, and are you even in a position to get the most out of your workforce?
Yeah, it's you have to be a lot more, a much more agile manager, it seems to me, these days than even 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think there's no question about it. You have to, things change much more rapidly. You have to get used to the notion that managing people doesn't mean necessarily managing people that are right in front of you all the time. There's a lot that...
And I actually think there's some opportunities there to think about, hold on, we keep talking about focus on the results, not watch the people there. Focus on the results that you're getting from them. It could be a real opportunity to actually, it forces you to think differently as a manager.
Yeah, I think it does. I think that, it does a couple things. It requires you to think differently, and it requires you to confront how much of that management style that needs to have people in front of you is just your own personal, what you're comfortable with. It's not as hard as people think. I think I say this as someone who, you know, works with a staff of people, many of whom telework or are just out of the office up on Capitol Hill. Or
you have Bob Bruin. He's out in New Mexico, for goodness sakes.
We have two full-time people who are never in the office.
Yeah.
And many other, and virtually everybody else is only part of the time they're actually in the office. So it didn't take that long to get used to it. But you do have to just say it's all about your productivity. And you do have to be fairly rigorous about setting standards and saying this is the expectation for the job. Because then you'll know when it's not, if it's falling short of what you need, because the standards will be there.
I have to say, one of my favorite parts of my life these days is I don't have to manage anybody, which I adore people, but managing them is hard work, and it ends. You have those days where you just felt like you got nothing done because you needed to, you know, calm people down or talk them up or build teamwork or whatever. It takes a lot of time, energy, and effort.
It can seem like it's, you're not actually getting
right. Exactly, feels like time wasted.
Yeah. Now, the caveat I will give is I'm very fortunate to work with a terrific, highly talented staff who don't require a lot of handholding.
There you go. One of the hardest things was when we got together and we had a couple of folks who were out of the office as well. And when you have those people, some people in the room and some people on phones, it there was always a disadvantage being on the phone. And I think we haven't quite, you know, maybe the telepresence, when that becomes more, or video something or other, it's not quite on the same par yet.
Yeah, that's right. That is one area where it's really kind of oddly different and hard for people to fully participate when they're that disembodied voice on the phone.
Yeah, and you don't feel like, yeah, exactly. In fact, one time we tried it, everybody on the phone. Even if you were in the office, you called in to the conference line. That way everyone was on the same par, and it worked okay. We didn't do it again, but it worked okay.
Huh.
I want to quickly touch base, because last week we talked about the Chiefs of the Year, and you refused. You just absolutely refused to leak the last couple of them.
And yet you let everyone know the backdoor secret to how you could find out what they were.
Yeah, they had to do a little work for it, though.
Yes, right.
I could have put the link on the website if I had been really sneaky. But there are a couple of them who we didn't talk about. One was the Chief CFO of the Year, Mark Easton from the Defense Department, who faces just, talk about a daunting job.
Yeah, I mean, he's that's, as financial management goes, they've got some very serious issues there that go back many, many years. But they're getting within shouting distance of having clean audit opinions at very big portions of the Defense Department.
Yeah.
So it's the strides there have been
enormous,
really pretty remarkable.
Enormous. Yeah. Hugh Hurwitz over at Education Department for Chief Acquisition Officer of the Year. And then Roger Baker over at the CIO over at the Department of Veterans Affairs for CIO of the Year. Roger Baker, it's almost impossible to say. VA always thought as just broken organization, and he seems to be actually making some changes.
He really does. I mean, that is, I would say, not a job I would have wished on my worst enemy.
No, nobody. Yeah.
I mean, they had those huge problems with losses of laptops and loss of personal data on millions of veterans, and a lot of IT projects that were in serious trouble. And this is one of those cases where, you know, we're not saying, hey, everything is now rosy at the VA. What we're saying in sort of highlighting his efforts is saying, here's somebody who's really come in and been very serious about attacking these problems, and he is so forthright about them. I don't think I've met anyone in government more willing to sort of take things on directly. Good news, bad news, he'll just deal with it. So he's, you know, he's in the middle of a lot of big problems over there, but he's making also a lot of big changes.
They always say the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, at least he's not trying the same thing over and over again.
That's right.
Tom Shoup, of course, the editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine, links to his